So yeah, one of the few reasons why we don't use this for promotional purposes, because then everybody will walk through the platform and go on to the chat and want to have their home meeting. And you know, when you have 100 people doing that, it gets pretty interruptive of what we're doing. But you know, we have Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's some stuff happening in the UK in December. So there is some good stuff out there for those who like to be doing something and who are home alone. Thank you for that. If you have any questions, you can unmute yourself while Sally Ann is still taking a break and throw it out there, or just say, hey, without a too long of a story. We have more 5-minute break. Renee, what did you just eat?
That's a very funny question. So it is something from the bottom of the South Island that they're famous for, infamous for in New Zealand, called a cheese roll.
A what? You're very soft.
Oh, sorry. That's because I'm speaking. I forgot. I'm actually speaking through the car because I'm in the car by myself now. So it is called a cheese roll. It is okay. From the south of the South Island in New Zealand. They're famous for it. And it is literally what it sounds like. So you take a piece. Honestly, nobody outside of New Zealand would ever like it. It is a piece of white bread with cheese in it. You roll it and then you toast it. It's delicious.
So you got a grilled cheese sandwich in a roll.
Essentially, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Renee. Renee did a workshop earlier in the COVID months together with Sally Ann on sponsorship. So if you're curious about sponsorship, go check it out on one of the websites. They're funny. Thank you, Renee. It's good seeing you.
You're welcome. Nice seeing you too.
Is that our 5 minutes, Yvonne, do you reckon? I forgot to look at the time.
I think it's been 5 minutes. You're in charge. Have at it.
Lovely. Okay, well, welcome back, everybody. Let's get back where we were. I think this is the right one. Let's see. Ta-da! Okay, we were talking about strength and where to find it in Al-Anon family groups in conflict, you know, the strength that's going to help us get through it. So in your take five, you've got hopefully some pen and paper, and I want you to ask yourself these questions. When have I seen or experienced strength in resolving conflict? What did I learn from that? And how have I applied that to my own life? So really the question is, where have we seen some conflict that's been resolved in a good way that shows me strength? It might be strength of character, it might be strength of tools, it might be strength of serenity or strength of courage, because recognizing that it takes courage and it takes a special kind of, I would say, spiritual strength to address these kinds of things. So when have I seen it or experienced strength in resolving conflict? What did I learn and how have I applied that to my own life? And then we're going to hit you up for you to share your answers on that.
You can put your blue hands up, or if you don't know how, put it in the chat and I will. What's the threat's email, please? Oh, God. I don't know. I have to look at it again. I'll get back to you, or if you hang in there, I'll pull it up later.
I'll just say the questions out again. When have I seen or experienced strength in resolving conflict? What did I learn from that? How have I applied that to my own life? And then I'll get rid of it so that we can see you when you're ready to pop your hand up.
Put it in the chat.
Oh, yeah, great idea. I'll do that. Thank you. You're so wise. See?
My experience says Al-Anon has an ear problem, hearing problem sometimes. We need to have a repeat.
That you said sometimes. When have I seen or experienced strength in resolving conflict? When?
Anybody that has been in Al-Anon for a year or two must have seen a conflict and must have hopefully seen it resolved. somehow. Yeah, Alicia, great. Unmute yourself, please. Alicia T, can you
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go for it.
Thank you much. I have an ongoing conflict with a member in my own group, and I didn't realize that we were in conflict until she would bring things up to me. Almost like an ambush, and then you know, a lot of conversations towards me about what I did to her. And at first, we both were talking over one another. So this happened a few times, and it would always happen after a meeting when we were at lunch, just her and me. So it wasn't in the setting of the business meeting, although we've had that too with other members. But what I've learned and what it felt like, of course, was I hold my breath. My heart starts racing. I feel my ears getting hot. But I stopped answering or anything, acknowledging that it's uncomfortable to be in this situation. But what I ended up having to do, because this has happened more than one time, that I listened, and then when she was done, I asked her, what do you need from me? If I had to own something, I'm sorry, that was not my intention. I went to take care of myself. I'm sorry if you perceived that as a judgment or an attack upon you. I was just taking care of myself. And not trying to justify, because it was like, wow, this came out of left field. What I've had to do recently, and I wanted to do it for a while, is to set boundaries so that I don't have to be in that person's presence, like I declined to go out to lunch. We're in pandemic now, so we're not seeing each other. So setting the boundaries, even over the telephone meetings that we're doing. We don't go on Zoom, but we do a telephone meeting. And there's just like seven of us in the group. So this feeling of conflict is happening in all of us. So I just had to pray to higher power and ask myself what this was bringing up for me, and feeling like I was never being heard when it was my turn to talk. And so little by little, and pandemic has kind of helped me in that I now don't have any contact with her, not so much because I chose not to, but she cut me off. And at first I was really hurt, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. You know, she asked for help. I said I would help. And then when I gave instructions about how I would help, she got mad. And so she wanted to know why did I even respond to her? And I just said, because you asked, and that I would be willing to do this for you if you would give me your list. She asked me to go shopping for her.
It's time.
And, but she took offense. Okay, I'll stop. Thank you. Setting boundaries, thinking higher power, and detaching with love. But I don't go in her presence anymore. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Marie.
Okay. I'm being heard, yes?
Yep.
Hi. Where I found, actually, the first really good resolution and conflict was in Al-Anon. And I was in my 60s, I'm now in my 70s, when I first entered Al-Anon rooms. And where I needed it was I heard how people resolved their conflicts with their children, whether their children were alcoholics, whether their children were had survived what I had gone through, a divorce from the father who was an alcoholic, which I also have the child too, but they explained to me you could hang up the phone. They explained to me you could admit that you had a difference of opinion and that I didn't judge them for the way they felt about how alcoholism should be handled. In other words, I thought that they were expecting me to enable, but I didn't, you know, I didn't say that, I didn't get into the conversation. I said, I understand that that's the way you think this should be handled. And that's the boundary setting we just talked about. Here's what I think, here's what I think. You're not right, I'm not right. And so I applied it with my children, who now all but one talk to me. So it's been very effective. And even the one that doesn't talk to me, I wrote a letter and said, our demons don't get along, and somewhere down the road we'll get back together. So even that one isn't that bad. So thanks for this. I really need this. I'm far from being able to handle this. It's one of my big problems. I'm out of here.
Yasmina.
Thanks for unmuting me. Hi, everyone. Yasmina again. I think for me, the best examples of resolving conflict has been in program, obviously. Service above the group level. My first experience of a group inventory was a huge lesson in kind of understanding that conflict is often actually manifestation of a deeper change within the group that's not being addressed or acknowledged or kind of become aware of. And conflict is kind of like the end result of something that's deeper. And kind of regular group inventory in a group or a relationship is such a great tool to even avoid potential conflict coming up, because some of the issues and changes that are happening or new needs that are being created are being addressed before they kind of come forward in an aggressive manner. And I've used kind of that system of no crosstalk and like listening to each other, even when some conflicts ended up showing in like an old friendship with like my two best girlfriends from like university. We've all grown and we've all changed, and we kept old patterns of interacting and they were not working anymore. And I suggested like, hey, like kind of doing a version of a group inventory as friends, and kind of said like, you know, like, can we try like no talking while the other person is talking and then repeating what you heard and kind of all of that kind of tools off program in a friendship. And it was hugely helpful because it really helped everyone air where they are now and how they've changed and feeling heard. And that was like really important aspect of it, and really like moved our friendship that's been for 20 years to like the next decade. And I also definitely used kind of relationship inventories, even with like my sponsees, when kind of just relationship changes, and sometimes the deeper change needs to be addressed in order for the relationship to healthily grow forward. And I find just inventory in general is so helpful. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you, Yasmina. Jean, I'm so excited to see you. I've missed you.
Hey, Yvonne. Thank you. Thank you for being here again. And Sally Ann, thank you so much. So what came to mind for me was when our group moved to Zoom, there was conflict around whether or not we should, our group grew in size, and there was conflict around whether or not we should have a timer for shares. And we had a business meeting, and we took a group conscience about it. And I was really amazed by the one tool I think that was most important was that people actually assumed goodwill on the part of the other. And any other meeting that I've been to outside of Al-Anon, you know, people get their alliances before the meeting, they make their decision before the meeting, and then it's a matter of how do we impose, you know, our will? How do we convince everyone that our idea is the best idea? And here it was not that. So to have the freedom to express my desire openly without needing to win was something that I hadn't experienced before. And to see each of us offer that to the other was, it didn't matter how it turned out. You know, it was it was an amazing practice of like what this program offers, because it is a space where we get to experiment, where we get to be a family, you know, where it's that lab where we practice being who we might want to be, where we can, this group can contain everything, and therefore we can be honest, open and willing. And that's what I discovered there. So thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Can I share, Sally Ann? Because I can't stick my hand up. I'm going to assume that is a yes, because you're muted. Yes. I was sitting here thinking, I've seen so much conflict in Al-Anon, it's not even funny. But I've also been a lot of the conflict in the room sometimes. I have to say that too. But when I was newer and I was a new GR, I would go to district. And there was this woman in my district that I just couldn't stand her and she couldn't stand me. It was very mutual. And for 2 years, she lived in my head. She was my worst enemy. And that was because she was my mother reincarnated. However, I went to 7 meetings a week. She went to 7 meetings a week. And I thought, God, I need to immigrate. But one day I go to the district meeting and I'm sitting next to a very good friend of mine. And she's sitting across the room and she was a coordinator. And we were grabbing the meeting schedules. And we have a very large district and there was no left. So I whispered to my friend, I said, give me some. And she goes, no, I need them all. I said, oh, come on, you don't need them all. So we're joking behind our hands about these schedules that I wanted half of hers. And the gal was sitting across from me, most likely had the impression I was talking about her because my friend and I were giggling. And out of nowhere, she started screaming in the middle of a district meeting and profanity. And I was like, now, my normal response would be doing more profanity back and screaming louder. And I thought, oh, I'm in Al-Anon. I don't know what to do now. And then I was like short-circuited because I wanted to be a good Al-Anon. And it was so fast and so swift that I went home and all week long I thought, you know what, you little bee, bring it on. I can do this way better than you. And I'm ready now. I'm going to annihilate you. You breathe wrong on me. And I walked into the district meeting. And the DR said very calmly and very succinctly, he said, this is a district meeting. We are not here to be trapped in the family disease of alcoholism. I will not allow this kind of behavior of screaming, yelling, and outright rage at other members. He said, if you are upset and you want to have a discussion, more than happy to have that. You may express yourself in an appropriate way, he said, but this happens again, you need to leave. And he didn't say it to her. It was in general, whoever does this. And I felt my shoulders go down. And for the first time in my life, I was like, oh, I'm not alone. Somebody is holding a safe space for me. I am not alone. I do not have to come here with all my weapons and start a war as usual by myself. And my shoulders went down. And I never forgot that when I went on in Al-Anon servers to provide a safe space that starts on time, that ends on time, where you can be heard, you can be seen, and everybody gets the same amount of time. I don't do politics. I don't do passive aggressive at the microphone. I will interfere. It will never get anywhere but me, because it felt so safe for me that somebody set that boundary for me. Thank you. Back to you, Sally Ann. Unmute.
Gosh, I identify with that. Thank you so much. I'm just writing down a idea that came to me from that share before I lose it. I things come into my head, and if I don't write them down, it'll go. Okay, just in general, thank you so much to everyone who participated in that part of the workshop and shared the stories and the places where they've seen and experienced strength in resolving conflict, what they've learned from that, and then how they've then applied that to their own life. So what I got from your sharing is the following. I've written it down. I take notes because I'm a SWAT, girly SWAT. What you said was that you've acknowledged in the moment that you're uncomfortable and you've still been able to listen. So for me, that's about staying present, right? One person was able to ask in the situation, what do you need from me? They were able to set boundaries and detach with love. They're able to access their higher power in the moment. I've made it succinct into one thing that I think it is, but then the person gave a lot of examples, and the examples were this. They learned to hang up the phone, admit a difference of opinion, and say that they want enable. And what I wrote down for that as a kind of a catch-all is choices. You know, they learned that they had choices, and then they learned to apply those choices. One person talked about watching a group or participating in a group, taking regular group inventory, and seeing how that process really helped the group. And the learning that came through that recovery process, and learning that conflict can be a manifestation of something deeper. And I'm sure you've heard through my shares today that for me, that's usually what's going on for me. If it's hysterical, it's historical sometimes. And what I love about working through the steps with my sponsor, 4, 5, and 8, 9 are the antidote to that for me, because with my sponsor's loving guidance, I get to see the truth about myself. And I get to go, oh, I didn't behave very well there. And I love, and this is where it all gets caught up. Someone else said, and again, I've made it a bit more succinct. They said, this is a safe place in these rooms. It's a safe place to experiment and try something new through taking inventory. And I've summed that up as practice the principles. This is a safe place where we get to practice those principles. And I get to, let me see, practice behaving better than I feel. Sometimes I don't behave better straight off the bat. Like, let's be honest, sometimes I behave worse. I came into the rooms because I was dating. I was in love. And I was dating this wonderful man. You know, everything about him was just perfect. But he was an alcoholic and he went to AA. And we had problems, of course. And I went to Al-Anon to kind of help with that. And one of the problems we had, let me see, was communication, because it manifests in this disease as a problem in communication. And I often felt in that relationship like I wasn't listened to. Anyway, one day we were at his parents' house across town, and we had an argument. And normally in the argument, I just did what I saw happen in the alcoholic home, which was sulk, punish, and withdraw. Those were my first kind of responses. And instead of doing those three, because I was working the steps with a sponsor at this time, I decided to try different behavior because my sponsor had told me to do just that. So in the argument, instead of sulking, punishing, or withdrawing, I tried yelling. Yeah, I did. I tried yelling. And you know what? I yelled and it was great fun. And then I stormed out, rah, and closed the door quietly behind me because it was his parents' house. And then I walked up boldly down the street and I got on a bus and I went home because I didn't know how to drive then. And and I got home and I rang my sponsor. And I was so proud of myself because I tried different behavior. And trying different behavior is like trying on a coat. I don't know if I'm going to buy the coat. I'm just going to show up. I've seen a coat. It's different to the coat I already own and I always put on. So I try the coat on and I look in the mirror and I'm like, does this coat fit? And you know what? It didn't fit. I called my sponsor. I told her what I'd done. I realized it wasn't me. You know, I'm not a yeller. It didn't sit well with me. It was a solution, but it wasn't a solution that led to serenity. So I decided to take that coat off, the coat of yelling, and put it down and go, you know what? That's not for me. But what I did, that was still practicing the principles. You know, that was still me trying something different, trying on new behavior. I didn't continue yelling, I'm glad to say, but it was the start of me recognizing that I had a choice and that I didn't have to reenact my childhood over and over again, that I could choose something different. And hopefully next time the choice would be wiser. But you know, that was a great moment for me. And my sponsor, I'm sure, laughed a lot. And I laugh about it today. You know how I said before, I'm writing down something because it's just popped into my head. I really liked the story you shared, Yvonne, about what you experienced in the rooms and how you acknowledged your reactions. And then how you witnessed a chairperson. I'm going to use the right word. You witnessed a chairperson diffuse a situation, not in the heat. So they were able to diffuse the bomb, but not when the bomb was actively ticking. So they knew that there was a bomb and that the bomb might explode again. And rather than trying to defuse it in that moment, which may not have gone well, they defused a future bomb by saying that behavior is not acceptable and won't be tolerated. And they did it in a really loving way by not singling anyone out. Because I don't know about you, but I hate being singled out in meetings by the chair. And sometimes it does happen because sometimes I'm the person doing the bad behavior. But what I got from your share, if you don't mind me paraphrasing it, and if you do, I know you'll tell me about it afterwards, which is great because that's the kind of relationship we have and I want to have with people, is that I am able to give and receive feedback. But what I got from that share is I related, and then I realized I have to be the person in the meeting, because sadly for me, sometimes I am the long timer. I don't like that, but I am, which means that the insanity stops here. Mm-hmm. The insanity stops here. So I make a commitment not to be the person that brings the insanity to the meeting or to the situation or to my marriage or to my home or to my workplace, but it has to stop here. And if I spot it, then it's my responsibility to do something about it. So I really admire that chair for recognizing that there was conflict and coming up with an appropriate way to address it and being the person that says, you know what, guys, the insanity stops here. That's what I heard. So thank you for thank you for all your shares and for seeing, you know, for me, this is why I love workshops, because I have this idea and it's like this, and then you share, and then you share, and you share, and you share, and you share. And by the end of me hearing how you've practiced the principles, I feel like we all grow and we all learn something, and we leave the workshop with great ideas and stronger solutions together that lead to serenity. So I'm going to take us back to the presentation because we've got a few more slides to go, but we are on the home stretch, everyone. Hope you're feeling good, and I hope you enjoyed that part of the participation. Let me see. Remember, I can remind myself that conflict is part of life, and that's out of our beautiful Courage to Change, page 101. Conflict is part of every relationship. That's out of the E71, which is, whoops, not that one. It's out of this beautiful little wallet card. Conflict is part of every relationship. When I face adversity and deal with my problems or express my feelings, things have a chance to improve. Courage to Change, page 139. And that's what that chairperson did perfectly. They faced the adversity and they dealt with the problem and they expressed what was going on and how they felt about what the future looked like for that group of people, and things had a chance to improve. Instead of what I want to do, which is deny, minimize, ignore my feelings. Little by little, we come to realize at our meetings that much of our discomfort comes from our own attitudes. I do not like that. I do not like being reminded that the discomfort I'm feeling, the tightness in my chest, the butterflies in my stomach, the knocking of my knees, the wobbling of my voice, that's my attitude. That's what I'm participating. That's what I'm bringing to the situation. Moving on, what is this? This is the part of the workshop where you'll go, what is going on now? What is this? You guys, it's a banana. And what I want you to recognize is that a banana is like conflict. Conflict's neither good nor bad. It just is. And it is part of life. Like a banana is part of life. Depending on how I look at the banana, where I am in my day, whether I'm, and yes, I've spelt halt with two H's, and there is a reason for that, and it is this. I am a woman, and I am hormonal sometimes. So I'm not just hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I am hormonal, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. So depending on where I am in my day, with my history, my perspective, my hungry, hormonal, angry, lonely, tired, my skills, my attitude, that's what I'm bringing. And sometimes those things are a bit distorted. I could see a banana as an opportunity. And when I think about a banana, I look at a banana and I think, well, I could bake a cake because I like cake. I could make pancakes. I could make a banana split. I could do a banoffee pie. A smoothie, or I could simply have the banana as it is, right? And I don't know about you guys, but I hope you have a piece of paper and a pen, because look at my banana. Remember at the beginning when I asked you to have a banana, I want you all to either get a banana if you don't already, or draw a banana, and I want you to tell me what you would do with this banana. What is the banana for you? What are you going to do with it? Are you just going to have it as is? Are you going to turn it into a banoffee pie? Are you going to make a smoothie with it? And then hold it up to the screen so that I can see it like this. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a banana, you can draw a banana or you can just write it on your piece of paper. So you're going about your day and then you bump into a banana. Maybe it's on your desk, you forgot you put it there, or it's in the car because you had it there yesterday and you forgot. Maybe you're at the supermarket and you're walking, there we go, you're just going to eat the banana. I'm going to eat this banana. What else are we going to do? You're going to eat it because it's yummy. Yep. Who else is figuring out what they're doing with the banana? Because we're all different, right? Oh, yes. Mashed banana on toast, comfort food. Okay, someone's making a smoothie with their banana. That is a very good banana there, by the way. And I like the way that you've got the little knob bit at the top there. That's very realistic.
What's a banoffee pie? We don't know.
Oh, okay, a banoffee pie. Renee's laughing, so because she laughed, I'm going to make her get close to her microphone and explain what a banoffee pie is.
Banana with peanut butter, yum. I can't hear you, Renee. You've got to unmute. Oh, hold on, you can't. Wait. Here you go. Now unmute.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, a banoffee pie is a really super, super sweet dessert. First time I found it was actually England, I think, and it is literally banana and toffee, so that's why it's banoffee. So it's banana, so it's like got a normal base, like a cheesecake base, then bananas with cut some sort of sweetness around them, and then toffee on the top. It's delicious, but super, super sweet.
Thank you.
So far we've got banoffee pie, we've got just eat the banana, we've got eat it with peanut butter. I love that. Thank you. Brilliant. We've got mash it up and have it on toast. We've got someone having a smoothie with their banana. What else are you doing with your bananas, guys? Because here's the thing, you know, we look at the banana, we've all got the same thing, but we're looking at it and going, oh, I feel like something different. You know, we're not all going to see the same thing and assess it in the same way or react to it the same way. So your banana is an opportunity and you've got choices. Oh, that was not the button I wanted to press. Here's a different button. There we go. And it's not a conflict, it's an opportunity. So what I want you to take away from this is that when you think about the banana, it's not the banana that is the thing. It's not the conflict that's the thing. It's our attitude towards the conflict or the banana that makes the difference. So in the context of my life, a banana becomes what I make it. And check. I really, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Were you going to say something, Yvonne?
Yeah, check the chat.
Oh, check the chat. Okay. I have to stop sharing. Oh, there's more. Look, there's so many. Okay. Accept the banana as it is. I thought it was banana and coffee. Yeah, that sounds like banoffee, but no, banana toffee. Banana pudding with Cool Whip. See, I'm in New Zealand. I don't know what Cool Whip is. Someone will type that in the chat. Dipped in chocolate and frozen. This is where we get the new ideas, you guys. Sliced on a bowl of cereal. Save it for later as a snack. Nice. I'm definitely going to try the dip it in chocolate and frozen one. So I imagine you peel it first and dip those bits in. Okay, thank you. Beautiful. Good idea. Put it in the chat. Thanks, Yvonne. See, she makes me look smarter than I am. I love that. My attitude is everything. Oh, go back one. How do you go back? Oh, look, I've skipped forward. I'm having an exciting meltdown of my... Where's my technical helper? No, I've lost it. So basically, I know what it is because I wrote it. Now I've lost all of you. This is exciting. Close that. Technology's fun. So conflict like a banana. It's not the conflict. It's not our reactions. It's how we look at it and what we see. If we use halt, you know, if we look at a banana, we might think this is a snack I can eat. This is an ingredient for a recipe. This is, if I run through halt, you know, halt is such an incredible tool to use at any time, but also in conflict. Am I hormonal? You know, maybe I need to eat the banana. Am I hungry? I definitely need to eat the banana. Am I angry? Is the banana a weapon? Can I throw it at someone? You know, maybe that's what I want to do when I'm angry. Am I lonely? If I'm lonely, maybe I do a Wilson, you know, and I draw a little face on my banana and then I'm not lonely anymore. Am I tired? I mean, I wouldn't recommend this, but maybe I can use my banana as a pillow. But the conflict is not the thing. What it is our attitude towards it and our reactions, our reenactions, and changing those to responses. So for me, what I hope you take from this, apart from all the other amazing stuff in the beginning of the workshop, is that the solution is in me and my attitude to what I'm experiencing. Same with the banana. The solution is not just looking at this and recognizing that everyone sees it the same way and everyone's going to dip it in peanut butter or put it in chocolate and put it in the freezer. There are as many different reactions or choices with a banana as there are to conflict. What I bring to the party is what's important. And going back to that solution before, am I going to bring insanity or am I going to bring serenity? Am I going to participate in this by bringing solutions that lead to serenity, or am I going to mash it all up and stick it on a piece of bread that's toasted and have mashed banana on toast? Choices are everything in conflict. And when I recognize that I've been given by God's grace a set of incredible tools, it almost doesn't matter which tool I pick up. As long as I pick up a tool instead of reacting and come to a solution that is going to lead me to serenity. Because if I choose that solution, if I choose something that's different, something that's not what I've always been doing my whole life, that's the thing that's going to lead me to the understanding, love, and the peace of the program that we talk about in every single meeting that we go to. But have we really thought about what it means in a practical sense in our day-to-day life? Like when I'm in a conflict with my husband, am I bringing love, understanding, and peace? Or am I bringing conflict? You know, what am I participating in? That's my choice. So I'm wrapping up. There's quite a bit of time left. Those are all of my slides from my conflict resolution or serenity saving workshop. I'd love to stick around and maybe, Yvonne, we do a Q&A if anyone's got any extra questions or anyone wants to talk about what they might want to, you know, what they see when they experience conflict, or anyone else has any other banana recipes. I've just discovered a really good banana bread recipe that I'm quite fond of, and it involves a special milk, which I can't remember what it's called, but it'll come to me. So yeah, I'm going to stick around. Yvonne, if you want to help facilitate a Q&A, we do Q&As lots in speaker meetings here, and a speaker meeting I go to in New Zealand, and it's always super fun. So thank you to all of you for participating so well, for sticking to out to the end, because I know this was long, but it is worth it, and you're worth it, and your serenity is worth this. And I think probably the final thing I'll say as I wrap up is, I didn't get this at one meeting. You know, it's taken so many one days at a time. And at the beginning when I said, you know, gallons of tears, a lot of pain, sleepless nights, huge resentments, and a lot of reasoning things out with other people to get to a stage where I finally go, oh, I think I know what serenity is. I think I've got peace in my life, and I think I've got the ability to sit still in the middle of a storm and not be swept away by all of it. Gosh, this must be what emotional maturity looks like. And if you want to know more about emotional maturity, I recommend getting yourself this incredible pamphlet from Al-Anon Family Groups. It's called the PL4, or the Alcoholism, the Family Disease, because in it, it has a checklist for emotional maturity.
Yep.
And it is a wonderful list of questions for me, or ways of being for me, that remind me what emotional maturity is. Because when I came in here, I didn't have it. Probably didn't want it either, but I had to learn it. And by being in conflict and watching others who are really good at navigating conflict, I've learned to behave in some of these ways. So that's the end of me talking, and I'll hand over to Yvonne. Thanks, everyone.
Mute ourselves and say thank you to Sally Ann. Woo, Sally Ann. You can all unmute yourself. Let's hear.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Sally Ann. Thank you, Sally Ann. Good workshop.
Amazing workshop.
Thank you. Excellent.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sally Ann. And, you know, I just want to say one thing. Thank you for saying what you said at the end, because people sometimes look at other people, like we're looking at you, and they see accomplished, they see well-spoken, they see comfort. And I always say, you're not in my house when I wake up at 3 o'clock and I can't breathe. You're not at my house when I can't leave and I can't move because I'm frozen and I don't know how to get unfrozen. You're not in my anxiety all week long that I think I'm going to die. You're not here when I cry and just never want to come back. And that's how I got where I am today. It doesn't come just because, oh, well, you know what? Hey, so that was nice. I'm here. It doesn't. So, you know, we have been where you're at, and it comes at a price, and you're not the only one that struggles. My God is not always, I think, good to me. He's not always here talking to me, which I think is abhorrent. He should be available to me like a hotline. I mean, there's so many things that I am in fear and in faith at the same time. So thank you for mentioning that. Anybody has any questions? I'm going to allow you guys to unmute yourself one by one, please. And two minutes or 3 minutes, I would appreciate that. If you want to talk to Sally Ann.
Yeah, hey, this is Kim. I'm in Virginia, the US. And my question is this. Conflict in the family, and specifically one's partner. And one's partner is an alcoholic in denial and has absolutely no recovery under her belt. And I, on the other hand, have had decades of therapy and a whopping 2 years of Al-Anon, which has been a lifesaver. So my question is this. In conflict, how can I, and besides everything, just absolutely phenomenal workshop, Sally Ann, I'm speechless as to how to thank you. I have pages of notes. But thoughts on how I can try to speak with my partner to diffuse things without becoming the therapist?
You can't.
Kellyanne.
Great. I'm just writing it down so that I've understood correctly. How can I try to speak to my partner or whoever to diffuse things without becoming the therapist? So that's a really good one, because my sponsor had to tell me very clearly that I had a family member come into the rooms, basically, and it was all lovely and great, and then it wasn't. And my sponsor put a boundary down, which is that I was not allowed to talk recovery with this person. So firstly, I would suggest HOW, honest, open, willing. So talk to your sponsor and be honest with your sponsor and open with your sponsor and willing to do what they say, whether or not you think it's going to work. And I would talk to your sponsor about whether or not you should put a boundary around talking to that person about their behavior, because at the end of the day, the thing that I've learned in Al-Anon that's the most effective tool, I guess, in dealing with other people is anything beyond here is none of my business. And I understand that when we're living with someone in a situation, that's really hard. But I can't, you know, the Al-Anon's like a ripple in a pond. And if I change my behavior, which is the only thing I have power over, hello, step one, then that will ripple out. What my sponsor did give me, which is really helpful in situations where I do have to, and when I say have to with inverted commas, because I would check this with my sponsor first before I even did it. If I believe strongly that it's important that I talk to someone directly, I often start with making a time, and someone had said that earlier in the workshop, you know, have you got some time to talk about this later? And then make that time and then show up with that at that time with that person. Again, that's giving them dignity and honor, and say my part around it, and say how I would open that. My sponsors taught me this, is I say things like, this might not come out as lovingly as it's intended. And then talk through using I phrases, you know, I think this, or I feel this, or it affects me in this way. And then what you can do, and I've been given some tools to say, I'd really like us to work towards harmony. Like, it's really important to find a goal that we can both agree on when we want to move in a direction together. So find that common ground, which is living in harmony or having a harmonious relationship, and then work out what you can agree on to get there together. But also acknowledging that you're humans and it might not come out right the first time. Mm-hmm. I hope that's helpful.
And messing up.
Thank you. Jim, would you like to put the addresses in the chat where people can go for the recording and the necessary paperwork that we're going to attach to it? That would be great. Gretchen.
Hello. I wanted to say I live with a therapist who is not sober. And I have used Al-Anon in a particular way to make more statements than questions, because I'm lied to constantly. I work out what's important with other people so that I have serenity and emotional sobriety. I'm redundant. I'm repetitive because simple things don't penetrate people who are under the influence. I'm busy sometimes and can't respond. I wait to respond. I get back to them later. I'm constantly asking myself, how big a deal is it? Would I rather be right than happy? And I compromise a lot. And I do a lot of outside work to manage my feelings and my good self-care, because living under the same roof with someone who has all the words and all the skill sets and none of the good intent, consistency, or physical or emotional sobriety is quite insane. So I find there are many conversations that I would not have with such a person, and that a lot of conflicts are created because I think if I explain it one more time, if I say it with a different set of words, if I try it a different time, it's going to work out. And that has not been true. So I use a lot of outside resources, I guess, than what my skill sets I would use with people in Al-Anon and outside of my home are really different from the ones I use in the home. And I rely on my friends in Al-Anon to help me keep that straight. Thank you.
Somebody had their hand up and I lowered it by accident. That was not what I was planning to do. Who was that? They were right underneath Gretchen. Could you speak up and unmute yourself? No, you don't know. I lowered
I had my hand up. I'm Kate.
Okay, thank you, Kate. Go ahead.
I did have my hand up. I don't know if my hand went back down or not, but anyway, I'm Kate. I'm a recovering alcoholic. 27 years sober, and I'm not a member of Al-Anon. I love Al-Anon. I love, I've been going to a lot of these workshops, and I'm loving the alcoholic share, but I'm also really loving the Al-Anon shares too. I live with, it's a little different, but it's not. My husband has had Parkinson's disease now for about 25 years, and I see a lot of similarities with the chronic illness and alcoholism. Alcoholism is a chronic illness, right? And so sometimes I feel like I'm living like an alcoholic. But one of the things, thank you so much for this forum, for these workshops, and the presentation that was just presented was wonderful. And I love so many of the suggestions. And I if I don't work a program, if I don't get connected to God on a daily basis, and pray and meditate and get connected, it's very hard to deal with my husband. But if I stay spiritually connected, I can do okay. But I just wanted to say that acceptance too, you know, a lot of things have been shared, and I go back to acceptance. If I expect him to take his medications, even though I lay them out on the counter, I put them in little boxes, if I'm going to get angry every time he doesn't take it, I'm going to just be angry all the time. You know, I just have to get to acceptance that it's his disease. And does he do his exercises? No. And I just have to accept it. Or else I'm going to be a miserable person. And I know there's a time limit. I just wanted to add that I'm a member of a group of women or caregivers for Parkinson's. And they are the angriest, most miserable bunch of people. They don't have a program, you know? And so I send prayers to them and I do different things. And I feel like saying, you all need to go to Al-Anon or AA or something, you know? And I'm so grateful for the 12 steps. I'm so grateful for AA and I'm so grateful for Al-Anon. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the family. Frederica.
Hi, Sally. I'm Frederica from Italy, a grateful member of Al-Anon. Thank you so much. I learned so much from you. And I was really in recovery, but I read as soon as possible the three obstacles to success. But I didn't have pay attention to be constructive, helpful, loving, and understanding. And thank you so much. And in my recovery, I learned to even to ask to speak about. I underline this part. To ask question in order if I understand correctly what the other person said when I'm centered, of course. And this is important. And the feedback. And I explain again, for example, if I was understood correctly from the other person, is the same, both way. And so thank you so much. I drink a lot of coffee here in Italy, the 1 a.m. So good night. Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you, Billy. See you soon, I hope. Bye-bye. I hope you will find your PowerPoint in the recording. Okay. Yes. Thank you so everyone for being part of this adventure.
Thank you, Wendy.
Hi, everybody. Sally, thank you for a wonderful presentation. Throughout your presentation, the thought kept going through my head, and I do this all the time with confrontation. In that scenario that Yvonne described, if I'm in a meeting and there's 100 people there and there ends up being some confrontation over what I've said or done, I put my tail between my legs and I withdraw, because I figure all 99 people in that meeting are going to like that person more than they like me. Mm-hmm. So why bother? And I just do that all the time. Or I go the way far into the other scale and say, well, screw you, I'm out of here. I mean, I've got to find a balance. I've just got to find some kind of a balance, I guess. And, you know, speak my feelings without, you know, what is it we say? Say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. And I just have to learn to do that, because there's just been so many, just since April, mid-April, when I started coming to these Zoom meetings. If somebody looks at me the wrong way on Zoom, how do I know they're looking at me? But I'll just have any excuse. Oh, well, they'll like that person more than they'll like me. They won't miss me. They'll miss them. And that's just such a, I'm doing myself harm, and it's just not what this program's about. It's not what I want to be. So thank you for a wonderful presentation and for everybody that has shared. So, and Yvonne, thank you for all that you give to this program. So blessings, everybody. I hope you all have a nice Thanksgiving.
You too, Wendy. Thank you. Cindy from Dayton, Ohio.
Thank you, Sally Ann, for your dedication and all you do also, Yvonne. Sally Ann, I didn't catch in your denial acronym, I didn't catch the A and the L, what they stood for.
Firstly, I'll unmute myself and then I'll just skim back through the presentation on my screen and find it, because I can't remember it right now either. It's harmony, that was above that.
Put it in the chat, because somebody's going to miss it on the way to their pen and pencil.
Okay.
You are so smart. I will put it in the chat. I love that.
Okay. The other thing I just wanted to mention real quickly was as you were speaking and others, and I heard like attitude and just reminders about attitude and keeping my mouth shut and that kind of thing. I was immediately drawn to what I cut out from one of our forums years ago, and that's in my Serenity Corner. And it has helped me a number of times, even some of the times like where I've actually had my finger up in the air and I was getting ready to open my mouth at someone, you know. And the saying said, it's probably unrealistic for me to expect that I will like every situation that I'm in, but it's of utmost importance that I like myself in every situation. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Nancy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nancy, grateful member of Al-Anon in Seattle, Washington. And first of all, thank you to Sally Ann and also to Yvonne for moderating. This has been a fabulous, fabulous workshop. And one huge silver lining of this horrible pandemic is to be able to teleport from all over the world to these meetings, just like zoom, like literally zooming everywhere. And I've made some friends I would never have made without this. But I have found the questions you asked, like during conflict, I feel at the beginning was amazing, because I still, even though, you know, I've been coming to Al-Anon for a long time and I'm allegedly a grown up, I still, and it happens more at work than anything else because I'm in an authority position now, which is weird. Never before Al-Anon would I have thought that. I feel small, frozen, ashamed, and scared sometimes. But I'm learning how to deal with that. And I have learned that not talking about the conflict is almost as bad as ignoring it. And I also have learned to keep my eyes out for outside of the rooms and what people can teach me. And a work friend of mine, taught me to lean into the conflict and learning how to deal with it head on. I mean, not like a bulldozer head on, but like a more like an architect or an engineer, because it does not go away. And that has helped me to be braver. So thank you so much. Good to see everybody. This has just been absolute timeless godsend.
Thank you, Nancy. Renee.
I just wanted to say thank you, Sally Ann, for a great workshop. And I have never thought of the code of conduct within Al-Anon family groups, that all discussions should be constructive, helpful, loving, and understanding. And actually, that's a code of conduct I can sign up to. And so thank you very much. That's my little gem from today. Thank you.
Thank you, Renee. And I want to share just a minute to add to that. I was told in my first year of Al-Anon, if I have something to say, whatever it is, if I do it in the I statements, I never can offend somebody because I keep it with me. It is about me, and you can take what you want and leave the rest. And I'm not cramming anything down your. And I was like, because I like to go tell you what you're doing. And I had to learn that when I share in Al-Anon meetings and when I want to have a personal relationship and not aggravate you, because my whole being is just aggravating when I walk in, let alone when I open my mouth. And I know that. If I keep it in the I statement, I'm much less threatening. And I needed to learn how to do that, because that means I have to take responsibility for what comes out of my mouth. And I don't get to flip it. I don't get to twist it. I don't get to tweak it. It is a statement. And the other thing I needed to learn, that if I work in Al-Anon with committees, or I'm the chair of a committee, it is we. It is not I. Because I like to say, well, you all had a good idea. I didn't think it was so. What are you going to do about it? I separate myself out. I separate you out, and there is no unity in that committee. And I also learned that if there's unseen, unheard in the room, there will be anarchy, or there will be a problem. Things fester. You can only suppress it for so long. And so fast forward, when I was the delegate some years ago, we were taking a group conscience whether the prayer of St. Francis should be on the bookmark or not, if anybody remembers that. And so for 45 minutes, people are doing their opinions. And I said, okay. I said, is everybody ready? And this one guy comes to the mic, and he walks up to the mic on stage with me, and he goes off. He goes, you can't do that. And I'm like, wow. And I just looked at him, and I thought, oh, I know you. Oh, I've got your number. You're my twin brother, but you don't know about it. I now, 20 years later, know that. And so I just started leaning against the thing, and I'm like, okay, I can do this. And even before he was done talking, and he was pointing at me and said, you can't do that. The whole room, 300 some people, said, yes, she can. And I'm like, oh, they're taking it away from me. And I'm like, and he goes, no, she can't. And I go, yes, she can, because she's the delegate. So sit down. And he sat down, and I was like, okay, well, I was ready for that, but that didn't work. And I go to the bathroom, totally unsuspected. And everybody was all of a sudden, hey, Von, how are you doing? Hey, Von, what's going on? And the teens were like, hey, Von, so that was something. I'm like, what? Oh, you mean that? Yeah. It's like, does that not faze you? And I said, no, because I am good in conflict. I don't check out. I check in. I am ready for conflict. I said, but it didn't faze me as much as the people in the room. And after the session, he came up to me with lunch, and I had the speaker that we had for the assembly was flown out. And he said, he shakes my hand, and he said, so I want to know how many emails you got. I said, you know what? I don't know how many emails I got. I got emails. I don't count them. He said, how many? And I looked at him, and I thought, and again, I'm looking at myself. And I said, okay, 5. I sucked it out of my thumb. He wanted a number. He was not going to back up. And he wanted me in the corner. And he walks away. And I thought, gosh, I do all that behavior. How annoying. And I thought, that's interesting to be dealing with yourself on the other side of recovery. Not that I never do that behavior, but I could see it clearly. And the next year, he came up to me and he said, Yvonne, good to see you. And he shook my hand. Now, I don't know what happened between that year, but something happened with him. And it was really good to see that whatever happened with him, I didn't have to be a part of it. I didn't have to do anything. And if people want to yell and scream at me, I can tolerate that for a minute or two. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to explain to you, and we're going to have conversation. And if not, then we don't. This is not going to continue. And sometimes people are that hyped up. But to let the steam off the pan that is boiling is important. It doesn't matter what they say. I don't listen to the content as much as to the context of how they say it. What is really happening? Do I just need to be heard and seen? And do I have to put my disease through the microphone? Or am I really on topic of what's going on? 90% of the time, it's my disease acting out. And the topic is just a vehicle for me to have a party. Thank you. Anybody else? We're all good? We're all good. All right. Well, I would suggest that we close with the Serenity Prayer. Renee, would you like to do that for us? Oh, you know it in that language that you guys have, right, Renee?
Te reo Māori. Yes, I do.
Yeah, do it.
Like it in te reo Māori?
Yeah.
Kellyanne can do it with me. E te atua. Tukua mai. Kia au. Te mahurutanga.
Ki te whakai.
I ngā mea. E kore nei. E taia e au. Whakarere kē. Te kaha. Whakarere kē. I ngā mea. Ka taia e au. Me te mātauranga.
Emohio.
Io. Che aha.
Te.
Amine.
Amine.
And that was the Serenity Prayer in?
Tereo Māori.
There you go, Maori. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Hope you have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving if you're going somewhere. If not, we'll meet you on Zoom.